A Band-Aid for Spain.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Global markets are way up this morning, so we'll play the happy music when we do the numbers. But the reason for the jump isn't necessarily happy. European leaders agreed to bail out Spain's banks to the tune of $125 billion over the weekend. Spanish banks were hemorrhaging cash ahead of this weekend's crucial election in Greece that could lead to a Greek exit from the euro. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco is with us now from Madrid to explain. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this seems like something that has made the markets happy, but it does also seem like a bit of a Band-Aid approach again.
Well, that's right. There's been a mixture of responses to Spain's bailout. Certainly today, as the markets have opened, the markets seem to be happy about it. And the general feeling seems to be that this is a short-term fix for Spain's problems and the euro's problems. And in that sense, it could be a good thing. But there has been criticism saying that in the longer term, this could cause problems further down the road. It could increase, well, it will increase Spain's debt burden. And it's not resolving necessarily the longer-term problems that Spain has.
Now, in other big bailouts in Europe, the country that got the money had to do a lot to get it. What did Spain have to do to get this money?
Well, Spain has already been undertaking quite a severe austerity program over the last 5 or 6 months in order to meet obligations laid out by the EU regarding its deficit. So Spain's already undergoing quite a stringent program in that sense.
Well, you're in Madrid, and obviously that's where the news of the day is, but I imagine that everyone's focused on Athens and what happens this weekend.
Well, that's right. People in Spain have been looking very closely at the other bailed-out countries, Portugal, Ireland, and Greece. But in particular, Greece, I think people have been following the situation there, perhaps wondering if what is happening in Greece could eventually happen in Spain. And I think a few months ago, that would have been unthinkable. But as Spain's financial problems have increased, I think Spaniards have become gloomier and gloomier about the prospects for their economy.
The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Madrid, thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. There's the happy music. Like I said, stocks are up 2% in Tokyo, Frankfurt, Paris, up more than 1% right now in London. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow finished 93 points higher at 12,554. It was up 3.6% for the week. That is the largest weekly percentage gain of the year. Well, now to some debt problems a little closer to home. Lawmakers in California have until the end of the week to plug a $16 billion budget deficit. That's a much bigger gap than the $9 billion that Governor Jerry Brown estimated just months ago. Ben Adler of Capital Public Radio in Sacramento explains how the problem got so much worse so fast.
The biggest reason for the deficit jump is a whole bunch of money the state planned on getting never showed up. Now, you might think there's a pretty simple explanation for that.
It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy, stupid.
But actually, just about everyone agrees it's not. First of all, taxes on capital gains and corporations came in way short of projections. Here's how Democratic Governor Jerry Brown explained things a couple of weeks ago.
The capitalist system is not coincident with your expectations of exactitude. It doesn't play like we may want it to.
But the governor and legislative Democrats did project an extra $4 billion in revenue in last year's budget. From the start, Republicans called it wishful thinking. Senate Minority Leader Bob Huff.
There were unrealistic assumptions made last year. Obviously, the most notable was the $4 billion that magically appeared when they were that far apart from closing the budget.
Beyond the revenue, a lot of other things didn't work out either. Federal judges and the Obama administration rejected some health and human services cuts. And it turns out schools are owed more than originally thought, thanks to the state's incredibly complex education funding formula. Here's Governor Brown.
The budget has hundreds of funds. We have lots of restraints and rules. And figuring it out is not just showing up and saying, okay, we got to $8 billion gap, let's start cutting like someone in business. It's a pretzel palace of incredible complexity.
A palace that now has a gaping hole ripped right through it. In Sacramento, I'm Ben Adler for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The Apple Worldwide Developers Conference kicks off in San Francisco today. That's the event when the CEO of Apple stands up on a stage in front of a big screen and unveils the company's new products. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Last year's conference was the last hosted by Steve Jobs. This year, CEO Tim Cook will be making the big product splashes. Analyst Peter Misek at Jefferies expects newly designed laptops, perhaps a new Apple TV, and the latest operating system for mobile devices.
We think it'll have deep Facebook integration, be all about video.
Misek says there are more Android devices out there, but Apple, with its unified platform and tight quality control through the App Store, is the most coveted market for developers.
So imagine developing for 350 million people. Your immediacy of revenue is much higher.
I went to a Mac store here in Portland to find out what the app aficionados want.
App that would categorize expiration dates for the items in your refrigerator.
A self-quantification app. How often you write or read or drink.
So if someone hasn't already done these, hey, developers, knock yourselves out. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
So what app do you wish existed for your mobile phone? You can let us know on Twitter by using the hashtag MyDreamApp. And finally, the social networking site LinkedIn was hacked last week and more than 6 million passwords were stolen and posted on the web. So we know a little bit about what people like to use for their passwords. The most common on LinkedIn was link. That'll fool them. But actually, when you go further down the list, that's even worse. Number two was 1234. Number three was 12345. Number four, 1234456. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.